Good morning. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Grace Point. I know everybody's nice and comfortable sitting in your seats. I'm going to ask each one of you to actually stand up. Welcome your neighbors. Shake a few hands. All right, as we come back together this morning, Kevin is going to be continuing his sermon series that he began last week. Attention. Kevin's going to be continuing his sermon series that he began last week. The title of the series is Growing Grace. This is all tied directly into our church renovations that we're all very excited about. Title of today's sermon is actually Developing Far-Reaching Grace. I'd like to share a verse with you from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5. Let me begin with just a little bit of background regarding this verse. In this verse, or preceding this verse, Paul is addressing the people of Corinth. And he tells them he has not come to them with great eloquence or human wisdom as he's proclaimed the testimony of God. He states that instead he's come to them in weakness. He tells them that he does not use wise or special words, but instead, his testimony is the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power. The verse reads, I did this so that your faith would be in God's power, not in human wisdom. Let us pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your love and your compassion. We thank you for all the blessings that you've given us in this life. And though we live in a broken world, your grace reigns supreme. You reign supreme in this world. I ask you, Lord, to help us deepen our faith in you. Open our minds and our hearts today to your message. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Somehow, some way, we got through the third and fourth song without inviting the children and youth back to the fellowship hall. So guess what? You can still do that. All right? So if you want to join us back there, children and youth.
That some way. My own. There we go. That some way is called John Peters. Yes. All right? 1 week. All right. All right. Anybody here ever heard of Dr. Seuss? Theodore Geisel, great guy, great children's book writer. He wrote the classic, Green Eggs and Ham. It grew out of a bet with his editor that Dr. Seuss could not create a book using no more than 50 different words. Dr. Seuss had faith that he could do just that. He spent several months sifting through words and ideas, tracking pages. He's literally putting them up on his walls of his studio, and he completed a year-long challenge from his publisher to write such a book. And a mere 50 different words are used in the book, Green Eggs and Ham. It sold 200 million copies. It took Dr. Seuss both faith and hard work. He had faith that he could do it, and he worked over a year to accomplish it. It will take the same kind of faith and hard work to accomplish our Reno Project ministry. Faith and hard work. Look at your outlines. Take them out of your bulletin, if you will. We are in the second part of Growing Grace. Today we're going to be talking about developing far-reaching faith, because it's going to take faith to bring this about. Look at Hebrews 11:6. The writer of Hebrews said, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And folks, I can't overemphasize the importance of faith in your life, in my life, and in the life of our church. The Bible says without faith, you can't please God. As believers, we are unconditionally loved by God. We are unconditionally accepted by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And as believers, we are called to live and obey God by faith. And some of the things He calls us to require far-reaching faith. So what does it mean to have far-reaching faith? Faith is like a multifaceted diamond, and this morning I want us to look at six different aspects of faith that God calls us to and that God is calling our church to as well. So look along there in your outline. Hebrews chapter 11, all these verses, all this this outline comes from Hebrews chapter 11, talking about far-reaching faith. Far-reaching faith, number one, is believing God when I don't see it. Look what it says in Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Underline those words, being sure, and the word certain. We are going to be sure and certain of things that we can't even see. Faith is visualizing the future in the present. It is seeing in advance. It's being certain of what we can't figure out at this point. As humans, we often say things like, I'll believe it when I see it. And God says, no. You've got it all backwards. Some things you have to believe in order to see it. Whether you're an architect planning a building or an artist creating a sculpture or a scientist trying to send a man way back then to the moon, you had to believe it before you could see it. Look at this picture of this penguin. Isn't that cute? I think this penguin has all kinds of faith. Look where the penguin's eyes are. He can't see what's down there. And yet he jumped off in faith. Look at this next picture. Beautiful African impala. Now the African impala can jump to a height of 10 feet and can jump out 30 feet. Yet these magnificent creatures can be kept in an enclosure in any zoo with a 3-foot wall. You know why? Because the impala won't jump unless he knows ahead of time where his feet are going to land. God said he wants us to be a penguin church, not an impala church. Faith is the ability to trust when we cannot see. That's far-reaching faith. Number two, far-reaching faith is obeying God when I don't understand it. It's obeying God when I don't understand it. God gives us a couple of exhibits. Exhibit A is the man named Noah. We all know about Noah. Just think of the doubts that Noah must have had. Can you imagine if God came to you one day and said, I'm going to wipe out the entire world and I'm going to start over with you. After you pass out and get up from the floor, he said, I'm going to wipe out the entire world. I'm starting over with you. Would you have any doubts about that? People would think you need some form of medication, psychiatric intervention. But look what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 7. It was how? By faith that Noah built an ark to save his family from the flood. He obeyed God, who warned him about something that had never happened before. Circle those two words, faith and obeyed. Faith is obeying when I don't understand it. It doesn't make sense, but I'm going to obey God anyhow. And Noah had all kinds of questions and doubts. Just remember, folks, before the flood, it never rained. The earth was watered by a mist that came up from the ground like dew in the morning. And God said, Noah, I want you to build an ark, a big boat, because it's going to flood. And I can see Noah going, God, what's a flood? God said, it comes when you get a lot of rain. And he says, what's rain? What's a boat? Would you believe that if you had never seen that? Exhibit number two is a guy named Abraham. Look at verse 8. It was faith that made Abraham obey God when God called him to go out to a country God had promised him. He left his own country, look, without knowing where he was going. Underline that phrase. I like that. Good rhyme. Without knowing where he was going. Here's Abraham, 75 years old. He's ready for social security, and God says, I'm going to give you some social insecurity. I'm going to turn you into the father of a new nation. I'm sure Abraham had doubts and questions. He said, all right, God, where are we going? God said, you never heard of this place. Abraham said, well, how am I going to get there? How long will it take? God said, don't worry. Abraham said, well, I need to know how much time before I get there. And God said, I'll tell you when you get there. Can you imagine God coming up to you and saying, I want you to go? Okay, God, where? I'll tell you when you get there. And you don't know how to get there. But when you get there, God's going to say, this is the place. God was teaching Abraham to have far-reaching faith. Faith always involves some kind of risk. Some people always want a guarantee. Any guarantee people here? Because that's me. I mean, I'm just going to be honest. I want to know what's going to happen, how, when, where, what resources he's going to provide. I need to know ahead of time. Aren't you glad to have a pastor leading you into a building program, telling you to have faith, and I'm going, man, I ain't got none, I don't have no faith. Folks, faith always involves some form of risk. Some people always want a guarantee, but we don't get it. Reminds me of the fellow who fell off a cliff, and on the way down, he grabbed up to a limb that was in a tree growing outside of the side of the cliff, and he's hanging on there, and he said, is anybody up there? Is anybody up there? And finally, a voice came out and said, this is God. Do you believe me? Yes, Lord, I believe you, but I can't hold on much longer. And God said, let go of the branch, let go of the branch. And there was a moment of silence, and the guy said, is there anybody else up there? Sometimes that's how we feel. But here's the point. If you learn to do whatever God tells you to do, even when it seems absurd, then God can bless your life and God can work through your life. You're going to build a life of faith, and that's the foundation of building a great life. And that's never been changed. God still wants us to grow like that. And it's the same for our church, to get far-reaching faith. I asked Libby not long ago, for those of you not here, Libby's my wonderful, sweet, loving wife. Why are you laughing? You're laughing because you never thought I'd get something like that, right? I asked Libby, can you think of a time when you obeyed God by faith when he told you to do something that didn't make sense? She said, yes. I said, when? She said, when I married you. By far-reaching faith. Number three, far-reaching faith is believing God when I don't see it, it's obeying God when I don't understand it, and it's giving when I don't have it. It's giving when I don't have it. Giving and faith go together. The fact is God uses finances to test our faith. Do I really trust God that he will provide for me if I put him first in my life, including in my giving? Cain and Abel were sons of Adam and Eve, and Abel got into the hall of faith because he gave an offering by faith. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. I think I put the wrong verse on your outline. It should be verse 4. I don't want you going home saying Kevin messed it up, because I did. Hebrews 11:4, look what it says. It was faith that made Abel's offering to God a better sacrifice than Cain's. Through his faith, God approved of his giving. This guy didn't know anything, didn't do anything flashy or fancy or risky. He just gave an offering. He's listed in the Hall of Fame, Hebrews 11. He's listed there because of what he gave, not because of what he gave, but because of how he gave it. It says he gave it in faith. It's not what you give that pleases God, it's how you give it. You can give by reason, or you can give by revelation. To give by reasons is to figure out responsibly what I think I can afford to give. Giving by reason doesn't require faith at all. An atheist can do that. Giving by revelation means I let God reveal to me what he's wanting me to give at this time. And it always requires faith. It stretches your faith. In the Bible, there was a place called Macedonia. It's where Alexander the Great came from. The Macedonian church was an extremely impoverished church. Yet when they heard that the church at Jerusalem needed help, they gave a special gift, a special offering to help that church when they didn't have any money themselves. And look what it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Because of their great joy, they gave even more than they could afford. How do you give even more than you can afford? It's giving when you don't have it. Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There's no glory for God if we only do what's possible, humanly speaking. Faith begins when man's power, when our power ends. Paul said this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. On every Lord's day, each of you should put aside something from what you have earned during the week and use it for your offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. We talk about giving 10% of our income back to God, and I think that's a good way to go. But giving beyond that, giving to growing grace, means we even do more. We ask God, what do you want us to do? And God says, hey, here's what I want you to give above and beyond what you give every week. Listen, when we get into our giving for our Growing Grace program, and we're, I guess, in essence, kind of already in it, don't take away from what you give every week to the church. We still need to maintain the ministries of our church. This will be giving above and beyond. Now, some of us have a little bit above and beyond. Some of you are sitting out there going, I don't have above and beyond. I get it. So you ask God, what do you want me to give by faith? What are you leading me to give? Not just this building program, this renovation program, but because of that, so we can reach more people for Jesus. It means we give by faith. Far-reaching faith is believing God when you don't see it, obeying God when you don't understand it, giving when you don't have it, and number 4, persisting when you don't feel like it. Anybody here ever use the phrase, I don't feel like it? I just don't feel like it. Our culture says that. Do everything based on your feelings. And as a result, we end up being manipulated by our moods. Mature people live by their commitments, not by their emotions. Faith is being persistent. It's refusing to give up. How do you develop persistence? Look what it says in Hebrews 11, verse 27. It was by faith that Moses left Egypt and was not afraid of the king's anger. He held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Moses led an entire nation that had been enslaved for 400 years out across the wilderness, through the Red Sea, out on the Sinai Peninsula, and they traveled around in circles for 40 years. Can you imagine traveling around in circles? Isn't there a song that went that way? I think there is, but I shan't try and sing it. Here we go, round in circles. Before they ever got to the promised land, they're walking around in circles. And the Bible says this about Moses. Moses held to his purpose like a man who could see the invisible. Can you imagine not being able to see it, but by doing what God told you to do, even if there's no evidence of it? Keep your eyes on God. When you keep your eyes on God, He keeps you persistent. Some of you today are possibly at a quitting point. You feel like you're ready to give up, maybe on your marriage, on school, on a career, or this dream that you've had for a long time. Maybe you're ready to give up the hope of ever having a family. Some of you feel like giving up because of your health situations. You feel hopeless, or your finances, you feel hopeless, and you just feel like giving up. I get it. I think everybody here gets it. And maybe God brought you here this morning so you could hear Him say to you, hang in there. Don't give up. Be persistent, not by your feelings, but by your far-reaching faith in God. Faith is persisting when you don't feel like it. Number five, faith is thanking God before I receive it. Let me ask you a question. If I gave a check to you this morning for $1,000, this is an illustration. It ain't happening. Let's say I gave you a check for $1,000. Would you wait until you had the cash in hand to thank me? Most of you would, man, I give you a $1,000 check, you'd go, oh, thank you so much, and you'd be hugging. Oh, I'm so grateful, even though you don't have the money in hand. God's promises are better than our promises. And even before we receive it, we can say thank you to God, knowing He's going to bring it about. Far-reaching faith is not just believing that God can, but rather it's knowing that God will. So you can thank Him ahead of time, even before you receive the blessing. I'm thanking God ahead of time for far-reaching faith that tells me, because of Him, that Growing Grace, our renovation ministry project, is going to go well, and it's going to be done, and God's going to continue to grow our church as a result of it. I thank Him for that now, and we haven't done anything yet. Well, we did a couple little things, just tiny things. There's an example of this with a guy named Joshua and a place called Jericho. You might remember that the walls around Jericho fell down there. How did they fall? Hebrews 11:30. Look what it says. How did they fall? By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people had marched around them for 7 days. God's plan to defeat the enemy? March around the walls for 7 days and thank me now that they're going to fall. And they did, and God gave them an incredible victory. On the seventh day, they marched around the seventh time. They thanked God for the victory, and the walls fell, and they won. Look at this passage out of Matthew 17, verses 19 and 20. It says, later, when they were away from the crowds, the disciples asked Jesus why they hadn't been able to drive out the demon themselves. And Jesus said, because you have so little faith. I tell you this, if you had even a faint spark of faith, even faith as tiny as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, move from here to there. And because of your faith, the mountain would move. If you had just a sliver of faith, you would find nothing impossible. You know what kind of faith this is? This is growing grace kind of faith. What Jesus was teaching us was that it's not how big your faith is, but how big the one in whom you place your faith. And Jesus cares and can handle growing grace and the ministry project we're doing. We feel like, how can we even get that kind of money? How can we do this? On our own, listen up. We can't. But thank God, He can. Put your faith in the one who can do it. Number 6, faith is trusting if I don't get it. Now that almost seems contradictory to everything else I said, but you've got to understand God's timing. Faith is trusting if I don't get it. Some people try to make God like a vending machine. Vending machines give you things that you don't need. There's a couple of vending machines at the hospital where I work. And I realize it's real easy to get it. I just get my Visa debit card and put it up to this thing. I can get all I want. Nothing, not one thing in those vending machines is healthy. Not one. Blows me away. I guess they're keeping company then, no. Folks, a good parent doesn't give their child everything they want when they ask for it. Sometimes they'll never give their child what they ask for. Anybody can trust God when things are going great, when you're flush in cash, you're happy, no major problems. It's easy to trust in God when everything's going your way. The real test of faith is when things stink in life, when life is hard, when you've lost your job or you've got problems at home. That's the ultimate test of faith. Far-reaching faith develops in the valleys of life, not on the mountaintops. Look at the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40. He says, they were all commendable for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better. Some of you have been asking God for something that you haven't yet received, and maybe that God's saying, that's not as good for you, what I have for you, so I'm saying no now. That's not no forever. I got to get you ready to get what I want to give you. We don't always get what we want when we want it. Al Pinero's dream was to go to Russia and share the gospel with people who didn't know Jesus. But Al was stricken with cancer and he couldn't go. So instead he started a recycling ministry, and all the money that came in from recycling was used to buy Bibles to send to Russia. Eventually Al died, never made it to Russia. But with that money, he sent 300,000 Bibles to Russia. He didn't get what he asked for the way he asked for it, but I believe he got a whole lot more. Can you imagine how many people 300,000 Bibles could lead to Jesus? We don't always get what we want when we want it, and sometimes God gives us something different, and it's always what's best for us, and it's always what's best for our church. What do you need to have far-reaching faith? Do you need to believe in God when you don't see it? Do you need to obey God when you don't understand it? Do you need to give to God when you don't have it? Persist with God when you don't feel like it? Do you need to thank God before you receive it? Do you need to trust God even if you don't get it? We need far-reaching faith for God to work through us the way He wants to. We have a great reno team, and I've asked one of them to come this week. I think we had one last week as well. I've asked Rachel Klein. Rachel, would you come forward to share a little bit from her perspective about what we're doing?
Good morning. I'm sorry, I get really nervous, but as of you know, I'm Rachel, and I have two kids, Emma, who is 7, and Ethan, who is 6. I grew up in church. Pastor Kevin was my pastor. And it's important to me that my kids get to have similar experiences growing up like I did. One of those things is having friends their age that share their faith and their beliefs. Before we moved back to Charleston in 2019, Kyle and I lived in Pittsburgh, and Emma was just a baby. At that time, I had a hard time finding a church where I fit in and would have felt comfortable leaving my baby in the nursery during the service. I know what it's like to drive past a church and wonder, is that the right place for me and my family? I have a far-reaching faith that God brought me to this stage of my life to assist in bringing around the growth I'm certain God wants for our church. To use my experience of being in a new place and looking for a church home, being a mom who was alone in that new place, Kyle was around. He was flying. Okay. He is real, I promise. And having many years of project management to be able to make a difference in our renovation project. I believe these renovations will be a huge step in making our church more inviting to those who may not know anyone in the city, much less in our church. New playground equipment will show parents we have kids here and are growing that ministry. An updated parking lot makes a single mom with multiple kids feel like maybe it won't be so much work to get everyone out of the car and into the building safely. I have faith that we will be able to grow our church in a way that will give my children and many others the same opportunities and experiences I had that made me the person I am today.
Thank you, Rachel. Appreciate the way Rachel stated that need for things for our children and how that draws in people, younger people who have kiddos and want to come here. Before, earlier in the service, when I was showing Rachel how to do this, she told me in 3 weeks, our landscaping will start. And about 3 weeks, maybe four, our new playground near the other building will start as well. That's exciting. We've been talking about this. You're finally going to put eyes on it. And maybe that will help you continue to grow in your far-reaching faith. You all get this in your bulletin? You can look that over. I mentioned it last week. I'm not going to name all the things again, but you can see what we're going to be doing and how much it's going to cost. And that's why at the bottom, we have encouraged you to pray unceasingly, give sacrificially, and be available willingly as we do this. So let me ask this, and we'll close up here. What do you need to do? What do you need to change to practice far-reaching faith? Way more than you can make sense of. Way more that you think you could do. What do you need to do to practice far-reaching faith? From this day forward, maybe you can get a part of this in your mind and your heart. From this day forward, with far-reaching faith, I'm going to trust God for my health, for my parents, my family, my children, my grandparents, my grandchildren. I'm going to trust God for my education, finances that I need. I'm going to trust God, and I'm going to start tithing and giving above and beyond to support Growing Grace, our Reno ministry. I'm going to trust God for my marriage relationship. Maybe I want to get married and it hasn't happened yet. Maybe for your current marriage, it needs to be strengthened. I'm going to ask God to give me grace to stay single. I don't think He wants me to marry at this time. I'm going to ask God to give me faith to change where I live because I feel like He's leading me to do that. I want to practice my far-reaching faith to become even more solid and consistent. In far-reaching faith, I want to become a part of a small group. I want my faith, by God's grace, to embolden me to share Jesus with other people. I'm going to ask God, in my far-reaching faith, to become in some form of ministry. Are you ready for some far-reaching faith? Get on. Hold on. It'll be the ride of your life. Would you pray with me, please? God, I want to thank you for your message to us this morning. I want you to make us a church of far-reaching faith. I want you to make us as families, individual people, to become people of far-reaching faith. I want us to be able to believe what we can't see yet. I want to be able, Lord, for us to go where you call us to go, even when you don't tell us where that is. I want us, Lord, to grow in our giving, so when you call us to give, even when we don't think we can do it, we're going to do it anyhow because we trust you and your leadership. Grow our faith. And through that, God, accomplish what we need for growing grace and a renovation project ministry. So may we respond now. May you continue to speak to us and help us to lovingly, humbly be obedient. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Obviously, God speaking to you, just continue to think about that. Also, write down on that card, God spoken to you about a decision, as Kevin shared, and you can put those in the boxes here, front or back, as you go out. Big announcement this week, I think, is the baptism at the beach coming up next week. Now, hopefully, Imelda and Humberto or whoever, that are, they're going to be gone. By the way, I've told everybody, please do not invite Jim Cantori to church. Guess who I run into? Have I already told you this? What's the guy's name? Mike Seidel. Y'all know him? Yeah, I'm out there. I'm talking to him on the beach. So I didn't invite him to church. I should, guess I should have. So, next Sunday, right after church, we will be going to the county park. There's going to be food provided for you. So, Miss Lori and the group, they're working on getting the food together. Come on out to the county park. I think it's $12 per car load. So if you can pile into Jason's truck, you can do that. Also, if you're going to be a part of the baptism, see me down in front. In about 5 minutes, I'll meet you down front right here. We'll talk about that, what to bring and everything. And then one little bonus, I don't think this is on there. Next Sunday night after baptism at the beach, we're going to do a little bowling outing for the youth. So we'll get you more info on that. So are you a good bowler? No, okay. Well, you're not on my team then. All right. Oh, Jonathan, I feel like I just ran a 5K right there. So, again, if you're a guest with us today, please say hi to one of the pastors. We'll be hanging around a little bit. Love to chat with you. Thanks for being here today. And, again, come down front. If you're interested in the baptism at the beach, being a part of the baptisms, see us here before you go. All right? Let us pray as we go. Lord, thank you for the excitement in this room. Thank you for the chains that you have broken in our life. Thank you for the freedom that we have through Christ, your Son. Lord, we lift all of this up now. We lift up each concern on all of our hearts, the joys, the pains, all of it. We give it to you right now. We pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen.